Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Here on Redbox Media. I am so excited for today's show. I have John and Evelyn Bean on. They are from Compass Catholic, compasscatholic.org, Compass Catholic Ministries. You can find them at compasscatholic.org. They are fellow Redbox Media hosts. Very excited again to share with you today, Evelyn and John Bean. But first, we're going to start with a prayer. We want the Holy Spirit to guide all of our work today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear good and gracious God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together with my fellow Redbox Media host. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift you have given them to guide us in our financial, well, in my case, woes. But I know, dear Lord, that you are going to bring these to a place where they're not so woe, and that we can bless and glorify you with all that you have let us borrow here on earth. And we ask for an outpouring of your grace and blessings during this time. We ask all of this always in your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I welcome to the show John and Evelyn Bean. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so excited to have you here today. And if anyone listening would like to join our conversation, if you have got questions for John and Evelyn, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Is your show, it's on the weekends, is it recorded or is it live? Can they call in during your show?
Pretty much it's always recorded because our travel schedule is really strange, and so we're gone most of the time.
So here's people's opportunity to talk to the host of Manage Your Money God's Way, again on Redbox Media, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 5 p.m. on Sundays. Do I have that correct?
That's correct. And if people do have questions, we have a give them the ability on the website to write down their questions, and then we take them to the show, and we'll answer them on the show, on the next show. That's a way that they can get questions answered also.
That's wonderful. I've got lots of questions for you. But my first question is, I really want to get to know a little bit more about you as a married couple. So I'd love to know how you first fell in love and like how long you've been married. Just a little bit about your background.
Well, how does the Star Wars film start out? A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Nice response.
We met when we were in college. I went to Slippery Rock State College. That is actually a real college.
That's awesome.
And John went to Springfield College in Massachusetts, which you know about since you live up there.
I do.
And I went to college with a girl that John went to high school with. And she introduced us, and it was not love at first sight.
For either of us.
Yeah. It was more antagonism at first sight. But after we got over
that's played well for 45 years.
So. Married 45 years now. Wow. Started out in Massachusetts and gradually moved south, and here we are now in Florida.
Well, I can see why you would have moved south, especially after last winter. I'm sure you were counting your blessings that the Lord took you south and didn't leave you with 10 feet of snow in your yard.
We're real happy not to have snow.
We think it's pretty horrible when it goes down to 40, you know.
My father is one of those snowbirds, so he gives me messages all the time when I'm knee-deep in snow. It's 80 degrees and sunny. Thanks, yeah. Dad. But he earned that time in Florida, and someday maybe God will allow me the same blessing. So you have been married for 45 years. Now, you didn't start out in Catholic financial ministry. Where have you, how did you come to this point?
Well, we got there because I had a different God. I had money as a God. And I tried to start a business after we'd been married for about 10 or 12 years, and it was a total failure. And we lost about $250,000, and it was okay because when the money ran out, we still had credit cards.
That's how I lived. That's part of my income source, no?
We ran up about $35,000 of credit card debt and had two car loans and a nice mortgage.
It was the American dream.
Yeah.
I'm living that.
And my pastor put his big old Irish paw on my shoulder, on my shoulder, and said, go down to St. Margaret Mary. They're starting some kind of a Bible study down there. Find out what it's all about. So being somewhat obedient, I went down and took this non-denominational Bible study. And as I was going through the study, I realized that, yeah, we had a lot of money issues, but, you know, financial issues weren't my key problem. You know, I had a spiritual problem, and I needed to put God back at the center. And so I went through the class, and it was on a Friday at noontime, and I still wasn't really working full time, or I was always able to make time for anything other than work. Evelyn had a full-time job, and which is the only way we kept our nose even a little bit close to the surface of the water. So she couldn't attend. But I brought it back to our parish. And in our parish, we were just finishing up a season of Renew, the last season of Renew for our parish. And our little small group wanted to stay together, but they didn't know what to do. What can we do to stay together? I said, well, we'll all do this Bible study. And we did. And from then, you know, Evelyn saw what it was all about. She saw a change in me. And that gave her some encouragement. And we just started teaching it so that we could stay focused in God's word and focused on our finances.
So after volunteering for the non-denominational ministry for a bunch of years, we had some pushback from Catholic parishes because they didn't really want to do a non-denominational Bible study. We sought permission from Howard Dayton, who you mentioned yesterday, who was the original author, and he allowed us to Catholicize the material.
Oh, wow. I was wondering how it became. I can see at the top of here it says the Catholic edition. I was like, I wonder how that happened. How did you Catholicize it? Excuse me.
We used the Catholic versions of the Bible.
That makes sense.
We added in references to the catechism and quotes from saints and popes and church documents and references to the sacraments. So, for example, in the non-denominational study, when it talks about a personal relationship with Jesus and being saved, we brought in the fact that as Catholics, our personal relationship with Jesus is through the Eucharist.
Oh, that's beautiful, Evelyn. I love that.
So it was a God thing because neither one of us were theologians. We had to go out and buy a catechism and then figure out how to use it.
I'm so with you on that one.
Definitely a God thing that actually happened.
There's a couple of things I thought of when you were speaking. First, you said the American dream, and I thought in my head, that goes quickly to the American nightmare.
Yes.
And then talking about putting, you know, the wrong God of, or where you put God. And I think I have such a great faith. I mean, I live and breathe my Catholic faith. I love God, you know, beyond anything. I talk to him all day long, the poor man. But I'm constantly, you know, in his back pocket until it comes to my money. And then I put him in a God box. I'm like, well, you can take care of, you know, my soul and my family, but don't touch my money, God, because I'm afraid you're going to tell me to sacrifice. And I don't want to sacrifice.
You know, unfortunately, there are many, many, many really great Catholics who do exactly the same thing. You know, unfortunately, it's not just a Catholic trait. It's a trait with pretty much mankind around the world, because we've experienced that in our travels, that money has its own separate box, and then God has the rest of it. And once people can actually accept that God owns everything, that he is, you know, the most giving example that we can find anywhere in the universe, then they begin a process of transformation. And that's a key word, transformation. You know, we say, we have a tagline, it's not about the money, it's about the change. And we're not talking about nickels and dimes.
Oh, I love that. That's very
we're
clever.
Talking about the change of a person's heart.
Mm.
And once they can accept, even in the smallest degree, that God owns everything, then they can begin the process of transformation.
You know, and as I was reading the book and thinking about that myself, I thought of, you know, unfortunately, our family has just gone through several losses. And, you know, being at that wake and looking at that casket, you don't take a whole lot with you. You take nothing. So realizing that all of this belongs to God and it's on loan from Him is really, it has already started to change my own thought and process on this.
And that's the biggest thing that people get out of our Bible study is the fact that they don't really own anything and it's all going to disappear one day when they die. There's no U-Haul behind a hearse.
You guys have some really pithy, awesome things. Like
We're so clever.
I think your next book should just be the pithy words of Justin and Evelyn Bean because these are wonderful. You know, and the other thing that I never knew growing up and then looking at the scriptures, it's not that the money is the root of all evil. We leave off a little tiny line there, a couple words. It's yes. The love of money right. That the scriptures tell us is the evil.
And I think that's one of the most misquoted verses in scripture because everybody says money is the root of all evil. And money is simply a tool. It's like a hammer. It's a tool to do things with. And in the American society, we put so much importance on money being how we measure significance and importance and all these other things that don't really matter when it comes to finances.
So true. We're talking this morning with John and Evelyn Bean. They are the founders of Compass Catholic Ministries. And we're going to find out a lot more about Compass Catholic Ministries when we come back from this break. You're listening to A Sinking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by the very delightful John and Evelyn Bean. They are founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, and you can find out more about that at Compass Catholic. Yeah. See, the problem is, I have to come clean here. My husband's doctor's office is Compass Medical. So for 30 years now, I've been saying Compass Medical. So it's really hard for me now to get my brain and my tongue around Compass Catholic. What's good, though? It makes me slow down and people can understand it better. If you would like to ask any questions to John and Evelyn, we invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. But I have a question for you about Compass Catholic Ministries. I'd love to know more about what it is and how it came to be.
Well, what it is we're trying to teach people how to be good stewards. There's very definite focus on money, but stewardship isn't just about money. Stewardship is about how we live our lives, and it's a 24/7 kind of deal. It's a way of life, and managing your money is just a piece of it. But so we're teaching stewardship through the different programs. Evelyn, you want to jump in here?
We have a 9-week Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way, which is all about different aspects of managing money. We cover work and having a crisis budget and saving and debt and all that stuff.
And there's a lot of good financial calculators that are on the website that can help people work through issues that they might have.
I discovered that last night, and I was like a kid in a candy store. They are fantastic.
We also have a 5-week Bible study called Set Your House in Order, and it's all about getting those important papers and documents organized. And it's things people don't normally think about, like a list of passwords and online accounts and security questions and user IDs. You know, if the breadwinner or the person that takes care of the finances in the family is incapacitated, whether it's due to an illness or an accident, or even if they pass away, the surviving family members need to be able to pick up and carry on.
Where do you suggest that people keep those? Like, I could write those down, but I'm kind of afraid of where would I put that safely?
Yeah, either in an online protected environment. Some financial planners or banks have places where you can store things mm-hmm. online, or in a safe in your home or lockbox. And we also cover things like having a Catholic living will as opposed to a living will that you would get from a hospital. So those two programs are done in a small group environment within a parish setting facilitated by parish members. And then we also have a book called God, Marriage, and Money, which is a book for couples who are engaged to be married or newlyweds. And it's all those startup questions like, how much debt do we have as a couple? How much money are we going to save each month? How much can we spend without talking to each other? You know, all those questions that come up after you've been married for a while and you think your spouse is out of their mind because you don't agree on that.
Can I tell you, I've been married for 26 years and my husband and I are actually going to go through that study together because it's not something we addressed 26 years ago. And I think that to go forward, the two of us need to go back. So I don't, and that's not exactly what it's intended for, but we're going to do that because I thought there was really great questions that, like, how did we not think to ask ourselves these things? You know, how much debt we're coming into the marriage with and what our financial goals were. You know, just the other day we had a big blowout because he started talking about his fear about retirement. And I had no idea that he had those concerns because I was like, oh, Lord, the God will provide. He's like, yeah, but God helps those who help themselves. So like, you need to.
Yeah, those are important things.
And then we also have a college study. It's not really a Bible study. It's more of a discussion guide for like Newman Centers. Mm-hmm. And that is totally online. We don't publish that book. And we're working on a family devotional and a high school study.
Plus, beginning in the next month or so, we're going to begin teaching the Compass program at the seminary, the minor seminary down in Miami.
Wow.
For Bishop of the Diocese of Orlando, which is our diocese, has mandated that all seminarians go through the Compass program.
And that's fantastic. I mean, you don't think about that. You know, they're going to seminary to become priests, but most of them will have to manage the finances of a parish. So to give them that information is beautiful.
And you know what? They're just men.
Amen.
They have the same issues that everybody else has.
Mm.
And the priests who have gone through the program in the parish, in their parish with their parishioners, have been, in what, from what we've seen, you know, hugely impacted, and it's just a, you know, it's a blessing to be able to have the opportunity to teach these young men, you know, at the beginning of their priesthood. We're going to also add it to the major seminary in the fall, so. They're going to get a double dose if they go through both the minor and major seminary. And I think that's it's totally necessary because not only for their own personal finances, but, you know, when once they get into a parish and they're in a pastoral setting, they're going to have people coming to them and saying, hey, you know, this money issue is causing us all kinds of things. It's destroying our marriage. How can we handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is going to give them the opportunity and the knowledge to, you know, work through those kinds of issues.
What forward thinking of your bishop. That is fantastic.
We're really excited about it.
I think that's amazing because how many marriages fall apart because of finances? You know, like I said, my husband and I, 26 years, we're madly in love with each other, but yet it still creeps in and becomes a source of real problem. You know, there's very few things that him and I argue about. Okay, there's nothing really besides money. That's it.
Well, and we have had one parish that had documentation of 6 marriages being saved because the couple took the Bible study together because it gives them a way to talk about money in a God-filled environment that's mm-hmm. wrapped prayer. And it's just a totally different way of talking about it than complaining at each other about how much the other person spent or how much in debt we are.
I was overwhelmed and thrilled by how much scripture. I mean, would you say 250,000?
No.
2,500.
2,500 verses.
Oh, that's me and my inability to see how bad I am with money. I can't even read numbers.
It's math for you.
I was an English major. Like, it shows, really. Not a linguistic major. See, can't even say it. So why look at money through the lens of scripture? Why do that?
I think part of it is because it's often the wall between what we give to God and what we keep for ourselves. You know, you talked earlier about the God box and the money box.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we invite God into so many areas of our lives. We pray, we go to Mass, we go to confession, we read scripture. But when it comes to our money, we have such a tight grasp on it, and we don't want to give it to God. And we're called to surrender to Him in all areas, including financially. And once you get that, it turns everything around. And it's not about how much of my money do I need to give to God. The mm-hmm. real question is, how much of God's money do I need to keep?
Oh, I love that.
Another pithy saying.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even write all of these down. I love writing things. If I wanted to do navigating, I wrote it down and I can't find it. I just deleted it. Really, Allison, I'm a trained professional, as you can tell. If I wanted to do navigating your finances God's way in my parish, how would I go about doing that?
Well, the easiest way is just to find three or four other couples and meet at somebody's house and do it. If you wanted to do it on a broader scale, you wanted to share this with others in your parish, I would suggest you talk to the pastor first and make sure that you get some buy-in from the pastor. But it's not something that the pastor or any of the priests need to
run.
Yeah, it's designed to be lay-led, and it's not difficult. You know, you don't need to be a biblical geek like Mark Hart, or you don't have to be a financial expert. You just have to be able to facilitate and basically watch the clock, keep things moving, and there's always somebody in a Bible study who wants to dominate the Bible study. Mm. You just have to kind of slow those people down and let everybody have an opportunity to talk, because that's where the real learning comes in. Now, you do a little bit of homework every night, 15 or 20 minutes, some verses to read and questions to answer. But the real learning comes from the sharing that goes on during the class. And that's the dynamic and the beauty of a small group Bible study.
And you said that no personal information is shared. So you're able to have these deep conversations about finances without actually, not everybody has the Allison disease of tell too much. So
you don't, if somebody shares something, it stays within the class. In the very first meeting, the facilitator is asked to look everybody in the eye and say, everything that stays here. So if somebody does share, then that's fine. But we're not asking people to share any financial information.
I think, we have a great group of friends, very close Catholic friends. And as couples, we're always looking for something to do together. I think this is an amazing way to come together with your friends and really support each other in this very important part of marriage. We're talking today with John and Evelyn Bean. They're the founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, compasscatholic.org. Please stay tuned. We have a lot more to discuss with John and Evelyn Bean here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Redbox Media.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined today by John and Evelyn Bean. They are the founders of Compass Catholic Ministries. You can find out more at compasscatholic.org, or you can listen on Saturdays at 9 a.m. or 5 p.m. on Sundays to their wonderful program here on Breadbox Media, Manage Your Money God's Way. Did I say that right?
Yes.
You got it.
Woohoo! And I'm so excited, I don't even know what to say next. It's not often that I actually say something correct. So we're looking at the wonderful programs that you offer over at Compass Catholic Ministries. Did I just say, I did say Compass, not campus. See, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you're offering over there. I just apparently don't like your name. I'm just going to change it. I try to rename everything. It's just what I do. So Compass Catholic Ministries, compasscatholic.org for more information. We were talking about navigating your finances God's way. This program is phenomenal. I absolutely love the book that you use with it, Your Money Counts, God's Direction for Spending, Saving, Giving, Investing, and Getting Out of Debt. And of course, yesterday, I spent a lot of time talking about the getting out of debt portion. Just, I think that resonates with a lot of people. We, the American way is, you know, use your credit cards. I shared yesterday, we got married when I was a junior in college. My husband was making, he had only graduated just a year before that, making very little, but yet we still lived as though we were the Rockefellers and, well, Fellers, I guess, Boston, see that Boston comes out. You know, that old adage, I can't be out of money. There's still checks left in my book.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people do that, don't they? It's the American way.
It is, but it's, again, went from that American dream quickly to that American nightmare. And here we are 26 years later, and we're still trying to dig out. Is there any hope for us? Can we actually dig out of this?
Allison, we've made every financial mistake in the world. In fact, one of our recent programs was on all the financial mistakes we made. Mm. And if we could dig out, anybody could dig out. Believe me.
Well, and you know, we've counseled people and two couples come into mind immediately that when they came to us asking for help, they had over $100,000 of credit card debt.
Wow. I feel so much better all of a sudden.
and you know, the bad thing was, and here goes the explanation of why marriages fail. Only the one spouse who came to us knew about the problem. The other spouse did not.
Well, if
they were totally oblivious.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened here. And if you were listening yesterday, you heard me say that I was praying the rosary and I was walking around my house doing it. I was kind of trying to bring down the walls of Jericho around our home. And I was begging the Lord to just help us. I'm like, we are, you know, not even going to have money for Thanksgiving dinner. What can I do? And the first thing the Lord said to me was, you need to tell Kevin everything. And that was the hardest conversation I've ever had with my husband. But it opened up a new avenue in our marriage. I didn't think we could be this strong, or that I didn't give him the credit for being as strong as he was. And so it was scary, but I'm so grateful that the Lord gave me that ultimatum, because it's not good for any marriage to be hiding anything, especially finances.
And once a couple comes of one mind as far as their financial goals, their problems, their issues, their plan to resolve those problems and issues, their marriages are so much stronger. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's done from a faith-filled perspective, their faith is also stronger. And it's just really a good thing and a blessing to see.
I think that we forget to include... I think this is so how my show works, by the way.
Somebody was supposed to turn off the phone, but apparently that didn't get done. Sorry.
That's okay. It's you know, my listeners are laughing now. They're like, Allison, there's just every show something funny happens. I chalk it up to, like, we're talking about life-changing things, and when you're bringing people closer to Christ, there's somebody who does not like that, and he will do anything he can to get you off the track of what you're talking about. And he loves to use technology. Usually he just drops calls. Usually just drops the Skype. We start talking about the Eucharist and usually the Skype just drops. We're like, really? So this idea of the sacrament of marriage, you know, to take and remember that there's a special grace that comes through your sacramental marriage in the Catholic Church, and to talk about and really hold on to that grace to help you through these darker times is something that I think we forget. We think marriage one day, fancy wedding, and we're good. But that sacrament is actually something that the Lord gives us as a gift to lead us through all of our lives, you know, together as a married couple and in every aspect of our lives.
You're right. And it, just to be clear, we do encourage married couples to take the Bible study together so that they're on the same page. Mm-hmm. But we also encourage single people to join the Bible study.
That's
because they could have as many financial challenges and attitude problems as anybody else. So we do have a mix of couples and singles in our classes.
And you could really learn from each other. I do a Monday Bible study here every week with just women, but we have every age from 24 to 76. And we really learn from each other. I always look at the 24-year-old and go, I wish I had this group at your age, because I can't imagine how much better my faith life would be and my finances and my marriage if I had had all that wisdom of the older people who had made the mistakes telling me, don't do this.
You know, we had a class one time at our parish that the husband sent the wife to the class. He was 85.
Yes.
And she was 72 or something like that. Oh. And she had a tendency to give to any organization that
solicited
her for money.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you get on those lists, it's kind of hard to get off, and you get more and more. So he was concerned that he would predecease her and she would just give away everything she had to live on. So she came to the first class and she was doing her work for the second class. And one of the things that we do in the second class is we have the participants do a symbolic quitclaim deed. I mean, there's no legal standing, but they just write down everything they're giving to God. And he saw her doing that and thought, okay, here she is. She's going to this Bible study, and now she's given everything away. So he was totally freaked out. And he decided he was going to show up and, you know, put things straight. Well, he was 85 years old, cradle Catholic, never been to a Bible study before. And after showing up that second week, he was such a delight to have in the class. Oh. He was such a blessing to us and such a sweet person. And just really learned a lot and participated. And
it wasn't his intention to keep coming back. He just wanted to come in and figure things out. And
give us what for and get her out of there.
How many conversions to the Catholic faith has happened through that, huh? I just, like Scott Hahn, I just come to figure out what you people are doing wrong. When you're talking about the, you know, once you give to a charity, all the mail you get from it, I help take care of my 91-year-old godmother. I show up on Fridays, dust a little bit, spend some time with her. And her mail is always filled with all of these give, donate, donate, donate. The other day I brought in one. It had like a quarter in one and a nickel in the other. And she said, this is my lucky week. I made 50 cents this week on the mail. She's like, they keep paying me. I'm not giving them my money.
At least she's smart enough to know that.
She is, but so many people get very caught up in that. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
A personal question. I'm kind of hoping you guys can answer. I'm assuming you'll have at least some idea of where to send me. So we made the co-signing mistake with our 20-year-old son.
Yes, we heard that yesterday. We were in the car driving. We both looked at each other and went, ew. Yeah.
We almost drove off the road.
Yes. You think you're doing, I mean, a little bit of background, my son, real quickly. He's been struggling with mental health. And so a lot of our decisions for him money-wise have been just to help him, you know, stay alive, basically, bottom line. So I do regret the decision, but he's still here. So in some way, but here we are now with this like $12,000 car that he cannot afford, that we've taken over. And then when we refinanced, they made us pay off the car in order to get the loan, which was mistake number 555, because you never incur more debt to pay off debt. I know this. I know this in my heart, but it doesn't always work in my head.
Yeah, you had a big ew on that one, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, you're in that point where you're just, I didn't feel like I had another option. I did. It's called sacrifice, but I wasn't yet ready. So my question is, now we're kind of upside down on the car. Do we sell it and take our loss, or do we keep holding on to it because at least it's a car that's paid off?
Well, the answer is maybe. I think it depends on the situation. You know, if it's providing transportation and you would have to buy something else in order to get it, to provide that transportation, then that might not be a good idea since it is paid off. Mm. But on the other hand, if you have a car that's just sitting around and doing nothing, not being driven because now you're driving the newer car because it's nicer to drive, then maybe it would be a good idea to sell it and take that money and apply it against the debt.
Well, I am driving it. He's got my jalopy, and I have the nice fancy car, which I don't actually like this kind of car. Our thought was perhaps we sell it, we take a little bit of a loss, but we buy him a cheaper car, and then at least we'd be able to put some of that money towards the debt. That was one of our options. I didn't know if that was a good one, though.
Yeah, I think it would be a good one, because if you can do anything to reduce your debt and make sure you have a little bit of money in your emergency fund, mm-hmm. that would be a good thing, especially if the car is being used and you need the transportation. Yeah.
And even if it means we lose probably about, well, we know that 20, what'd you say in your book, 20% your car depreciates in 1 year? That's
yes.
crazy.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue to do the first thing you tell me to do about it is pray. We'll be right back with John and Evelyn Bean here.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
On Breadbox Media, I am joined today by John and Evelyn Bean. They are the co-authors of the book I talked about yesterday at great length, the Catholic edition of Your Money Counts, God's Direction for Spending, Saving, Giving, Investing, and Getting Out of Debt, along with Howard Dayton. And they're also the founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, CompassCatholic.org. And we've been talking a lot about navigating your finances God's way. Yes, I lost my place again. Can you let us know before, I don't want to run out of time for this, how can we get this? Because I'm totally going to do this with my friends.
If you go to our website, compasscatholic.org, and under the bookstore, you can find all of the books and you can buy them online in a hard copy format, or you can also buy an ebook format.
Ah.
So we have the books in both the hard copy and ebook. And there is facilitator training if you're doing the Bible study. There's facilitator training that's also available online. All we require is that you sign up as a facilitator and create a user ID and password to access the facilitator information. And it's a PDF file that you read and some videos that you watch. So it's not rocket science. It's just merely facilitation skills.
I think that's wonderful that you offer that, because so many people are afraid of doing small groups. I'm always toting small groups on my show. I think it's very, very important to come together in community and to share our faith, to grow in our faith in that way. But people are so intimidated that they don't know how to facilitate. And I tell them, I love that you use the word facilitator, because they're not the teacher.
Correct.
They're the facilitator.
And we do a few things that are a little bit different than some Bible studies in that we ask the participants to memorize a Bible verse each week. Mm. And that's sometimes a little bit different than what they find in other Bible studies. And then at the end of the Bible study, we also have a prayer log where people can request prayers from the others in their small group.
That's wonderful. And I think that it's really important that we think about memorizing a scripture verse. People are like, well, that's what, you know, we're Catholics. We don't memorize scripture verse, but we're Christians and we follow Christ. And he was speaking scripture from the cross. You don't always have the ability to grab your phone. And scripture is so comforting and guiding and teaching. Is this why? What is your meaning, your thought process behind having people memorize?
Part of it is just getting them into the mindset of what the lesson is for that week.
Ah, okay.
It's a way to, it's amazing how often that verse will pop into your head when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a way to tie it together and have something to meditate on during the week that you're studying that topic.
And most of the verses are only one sentence. Mm-hmm. There are two, however, that are about three sentences. And they seem to be the hardest to learn, but they're the ones that will continually pop up because they're the one is about contentment. And yes. And then the other one is, well, it's
God owns everything.
Yeah, God owns everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of ways that when I first started doing Bible study back in 2005, a couple of things that I did was I would put them on index cards and mm-hmm. I'd put them in the bathroom, on the mirror. I would mm-hmm. put it in my car. I would stick it on my computer, all the different, the refrigerator, any place I was frequenting.
Yeah, that's a good way to memorize them.
And it really is, God's word is so powerful and it's such a gift from him. And we get to hear his voice, you know, like it's inspired, divinely inspired words. And they are meant truly to guide and teach us. I'm so excited to spend this time with you. Well, I've asked you a lot of questions and kind of not given you a chance. What is something you'd like to make sure that we know today about Compass Catholic?
We're sitting here pointing at each other. You know, I think the most important thing people can get out of what we're trying to do is the fact that we want them to put money in the proper perspective. Mm. It's just a tool for us to use while we're here on Earth. It's not a way to define how important we are or how wonderful we are or how valuable our life is. And so often people use money with the wrong attitude. And God gives us the graces to use money to serve his purpose. And our goal is to get people into a financial position where if God calls them to do something, they can meet that need. Whether that's something like you're doing with being on the radio or something like we're doing with working in a ministry full time or staying in their paid position and being a generous giver. There's so much we can do if people just have the proper attitude toward money and not falling to the secular attitude that we see all around us.
Well, and you know, if you got a mountain of debt, how can you leave your job to go on a mission trip, to go, you know, answer God's call, wherever it is for whatever he wants you to do? You can't because you've got this huge mountain of debt, and so you have to stay and work and get that paid off. But once you've got it paid off and you have no debt, then when God calls, you can say, yes, Father, I can go.
Here I am, Lord.
Yeah, here I am.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
Well, it's just we experienced that in 19, in the mid-90s, let's say, because we were being called to become the Catholic directors for this non-denominational ministry. And you know, we weren't there yet. We said no. And it took us 12 more years to get out of debt and to have enough money saved. I mean, you know, in the Catholic faith, we don't have a lot of lay people who are going out and being missionaries and raising their own income,
right?
You know, as they minister to others. But it's a very common occurrence in the Protestant faith. And, you know, I got to hand it to those people because in order to do that, it takes a special person to be able to ask people to donate so that you have enough money to have food on your table and to do your ministry and have, you know, a reasonable clothing and stuff like that. I just don't have that in me. So it took us 12 years in order to get to the point where we could retire, live on our savings, be volunteers, and do God's ministry. And how many people did we miss in those 12 years? Even though we continued to minister, you know, time permitting, and while we were still going to work 8 hours a day, but, you know, how many people did we miss because we couldn't say yes?
Yeah, that line in the book really stopped me in my tracks because I do full-time ministry. And I think about how much more I could do and the different decisions I could make if I didn't have to make financial decisions along with my ministry decisions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think from our ministry that it would be really great if people, you know, the spiritual piece that we just talked about is, you know, ultimately the most important thing. But if people would keep track of their pennies, you know, how much money are you spending every day? You go to a local coffee shop and get a $5 latte, or, you know, the kids, you take the kids shopping with you, and in order to keep them quiet and calm, you spend $2 or $3 on this or that. How much money do people throw away that they don't really have? And, you know, they don't know it because they don't keep track of it. Yesterday in Mobile, we ate breakfast at the church. They serve breakfast to the students that come into the school and the parents. And, you know, so I asked the lady for the receipt. And I said, I have to keep track of my pennies. She says, you know, I've worked here for 3 years. Nobody has ever asked me for a receipt.
Wow.
And, you know, that happens all the time. I go into the sweet roll shop that we frequent all the time and get a cup of coffee. And we have a lot of meetings there, you know. do you want your receipt is a common question. I say, absolutely. I have to keep track of my pennies. And they look at me, you know, these are 16 and 18-year-old kids. They look at me like, well, you old fuddy-duddy, you know. But it's really important.
Well, and it's not, you know, a lot of people think a budget is restrictive and means you can't spend anything. But what we found is that a budget allows you to spend on what's important to you. Mm. It gives you the facts so that you know where you really want your money to go instead of just having it drift through your fingers and end up someplace that you really weren't thinking about. You know, John talked about the fancy coffee store. $5 a week is... $5 a day for fancy coffee is $25 a week times 50 weeks is, you know, a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, if it adds up to over the course of the year. And is that really what you want to spend your money on? Or do you want to save that money to have a family vacation or save for college or
pay off debt?
You know, so while people think a budget is restrictive, we use the word spending plan. Doesn't that sound nice?
That does. That sounds way nicer.
It's a spending plan for where you want your money to go so you can make a conscious decision.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have had this opportunity to talk with you today, to spend time with your book. I'm going to definitely sign up to become a facilitator at Navigating Your Money, Your Finances God's Way. I'll be blogging about all of this, everybody, as I go through this journey, just like I did with the weight loss. We're going to now go with the spending plan and the debt loss. Sounds good to me. How can we get a hold and keep following all the wonderful work you do?
CompassCatholic.org.
This has been our morning with John and Evelyn Bean here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Bread Box Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.